But we begin today with, this has been, Drew, an interesting year for the Indianapolis Public Schools. They started the school year with a brand new superintendent, which was approved literally almost a year ago at this time. Dr. Louis Farabee, and there have been all sorts of changes for the better, enrollment up. We won't know about the I-STEP for another 2 weeks. They're crossing their fingers at IPS that the I-STEP might be up. But they've had a lot of things going on, some new legislation in the legislature that will impact taking some of IPS's not the best schools in the world and figuring out ways to make them better schools, not as magnet schools, but schools for the kids that actually live in those neighborhoods, Drew. They call them Innovation Network Schools, and this was part of a state law that was passed this year, Public Law 1321. And so IPS worked with the city and the Mind Trust to offer fellowships. Do you know what a fellowship is? That's when somebody pays you a lot of money to take a year off your regular job to do study and work. Drew said, can I get a fellowship? You want one of fellowships? Yeah, but he wants the fellowship. It's not like a church fellowship. It's another kind of fellowship. And a whole lot of people applied, and the first winners of the fellowship are here live, kind of, sort of, except for one, in the studio. And there's three schools or three that will be involved. One, well, first, before we introduce the folks, let me get David Harris, the head of the Mind Trust, who is here. What exactly will these fellows do for the next year?
So they're going to spend the next year, or in the case of two of them, Lauren and Heather, they're going to spend the next 2 years designing, developing, building, and launching a school. But in the course of that, they're going to do a whole range of things. They're going to travel the country looking at top schools to get ideas on how those schools are successful. They're going to engage with top national experts to get feedback and ideas on how to strengthen their proposals. They're going to work with local community experts, education experts, and community experts to help guide them as they go through this process of getting their schools launched. They're going to work closely with the IPS administration to better understand the systems within IPS and what they need to know to launch IPS schools. But they're going to really be putting their ideas on paper, coming up with a plan to launch a new school, taking that plan to the Indianapolis Public Schools Board of Commissioners that will ultimately approve their right to launch an innovation network school.
In an existing IPS building. So this is not going to – nobody's building a brand new building. This is in an existing building with existing students and existing teachers?
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll negotiate with the district about which buildings they go into and what exactly the contractual relationship will be between the fellow and the school operator in the school district. But they're going to have more freedom and autonomy than most schools have, and they operate outside of the collective bargaining agreement, so that's a difference from most of the schools in IPS. And of course, they're going to be held to high levels of accountability. So it's an exciting new law. We are all very, very impressed. Lots of us are impressed with Dr. Farabee, and we want to applaud him for championing this law at the legislature and creating this opportunity and attracting the kind of talent that we have in the studio today.
So we have three entities here. How many people applied? How many entities applied?
86 people submitted statements of intent. And remember, we had only a very short number of weeks between when we announced this opportunity and when the first statements of intent were due. And we knew it was going to be a tight time frame. I am surprised that 86 people applied or submitted statements of intent. 63 of those people actually submitted full application. So there was a tremendous amount of interest. And as we go forward, because we plan to do this annually, mm-hmm. at least for the next 3 years, mm-hmm. Offer up to three fellowships a year, we're expecting that we're going to get a lot more people to apply. We heard a lot of people say, gosh, this is really interesting. We want to do this. We just don't have enough time to do it now. So I think in the future we'll get even a bigger response.
So we have basically three entities, four people to make three entities. One is a team. And we need to tell everybody, since this is picture radio, so you can't see the pictures till you go to the website later this weekend at praiseindy.com and hear the interview and, more importantly, see the pictures. I'm getting ready to get my camera out to get everybody's picture. There are three of the four. There three are African American. Two are women. So, and we'll find out in a minute how many are from Indianapolis or have IPS, connections. But here is who we got in the house. We have Lauren Franklin. Lauren Franklin is an alumna of IPS. Spent all of her K through 12 in the Indianapolis Public Schools. She's a 15-year educator in the district. For the last 4 years, she has been the principal. And she just told me that the Francis Parker Montessori School is the best school in IPS and the best Montessori school in the whole country. And her plans are to create another Montessori-inspired school that would be K through 12 in IPS. The second group is a team. Earl Martin Phelan and Marlon Llewellyn. Earl Phelan, y'all know his story. Great Yale, Harvard, been everywhere, done everything. Has done the summer learning program called Summer Advantage. He has the Phelan Charter School right now up on North Illinois, and he's in a team with Marlon Llewellyn, who currently is the Dean of Scholars. That's Dean of Students, y'all. At Arlington High School, Llewellyn is a seasoned educator. He's a graduate of Ball State University. Came to Ball State to get a scholarship. Hopefully, academic or athletic?
Both.
Both. And see, now, you know, he has been an educator. He's had a decade of experience working in school districts, including IPS, and was an inaugural graduate of Marion University's Academy for Teaching and Learning Leadership. Heather Savaris came a different way. She's got an MBA. One of her jobs was working, Drew, with the United States State Department. No, she wasn't an ambassador. She wasn't a charge d'affaires. She studied the motivations of young people that joined terrorist groups. She was a senior intelligence analyst, but that has turned to, she wants to be in education. And Drew's already got that look on his face. And so we'll find out all about that. Guys, welcome. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Earl, we've got, plug Earl into the conversation. Earl, how you doing? Earl, you there? Do we have him there, Drew? Yeah, oh, now I hear Earl. Earl, how you doing?
Doing great, Amos. Wonderful to be here today.
Let me first start with what I would say is the non-educator, and I know she's going to disagree with me, Heather Savaris. What motivated you to, you know, to take this opportunity and when the Mind Trust sent all this, the information about you to the media, they led with what you did on behalf of our country. So what brought you from serving the people of America in our Department of State to being here and wanting to work with IPS?
So I made a pit stop.
Okay.
Is that all right? All right. So I left the State Department, mm-hmm. and when I was working overseas, I did a lot of work with young people to try and understand what made terrorist groups interesting to them, mm-hmm. Why they might join, why they might try and affiliate, why they thought it might be cool, you know, mm-hmm. And then tried to figure out what could we do in place of it. Mm-hmm. And what I found is there were some really interesting entrepreneurs inside the communities that I was working in that had a very strong message of empowerment, a very strong message of I choose myself. I don't need no terrorist recruiter to choose me. Right. And I said, wait a second, there's some magic going on here. So I actually started my MBA path. I wanted to learn how to become an entrepreneur and actually teach other people how to be an entrepreneur. So that pit stop I talked about was about 2.5 years in Ohio, mm-hmm. where I am from, teaching. Okay. And I was teaching at a community college in an urban center where I developed an entrepreneurship education program for people with businesses or people with business ideas. And I was working, kind of going into schools, doing entrepreneurship workshops, right. saying, wow, this is some interesting stuff. I'm teaching kids, I think, to teach, you know, think very differently. So when I saw the Mind Trust, you know, notice, I said, oh my gosh, what if you use that entrepreneurial thinking? What if you use empowerment? What if you use mindset to teach real life curriculum to meet those standards?
You know, there's an argument that could be made, and the education plan you want to do is for middle school students. There's an argument that traditional education has always wanted to push away young people that showed any kind of entrepreneurial spirit or any kind of thinking for self. Is that as you explore for the next, you know, year or so, what you want to do with this innovation school? Is that part of it? How to meld that idea? Because to be an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs tend to, they like to break rules. They like to push authority. Is part of that trying to figure out how you do that in the context of a middle school where normal students are there, middle schoolers are trying to push authority?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, the way I've done this, right, so far is I've done it with workshops, and I've asked kids. So my aha moment, my big, oh, my gosh, is yes. I was doing a workshop for 125 7th and 8th graders. Mm-hmm. And so I start by giving them some supplies, right? They get some Play-Doh, they get right. some sticks, and I say, hey, make a business, really imagine. What's the problem you're going to solve, and tell me what customer you're serving? And these kids looked at me like I had four heads. They mm-hmm. were like, what, lady, you're crazy. Tell us what to do. And I said, No. I am telling you what to do. So it was that pushback, and eventually it was this realization that, you know, they didn't have the opportunity, the space to be creative, and they didn't have the opportunity to push those boundaries. And so that was kind of the impetus for let's design this, let's figure this out.
So in a roundabout way, is what you're trying to do going to fit into this new curriculum that we have here in Indiana, College and Career Ready, that is going to be pushing students to really start thinking for themselves? It's not just the 2 + 2 = 4 because we told you, you figured it out on your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You said it better than I did, yes.
239-1310, 239-1310. All right, so now, Earl Phelan, how did you and Marlon Llewellyn hook up? And there's going to be some people, Earl, asking, you already got a charter school, why are you trying to get greedy?
Well, Marlon can talk about how we connected, but no, we're not trying to get greedy. We're so excited about this opportunity. I think that Indianapolis is being a forefront leader and thinker and saying, let's stop the bickering between us versus them and this one versus that one, and let's focus on the one thing that matters, which is the education of our children, the future of our children, the future of our communities. So to see Dr. Therapy and the mayor's office and the Mind Trust come together to say, let's create a collaborative opportunity to provide children who have attended an underperforming school to now have a chance to thrive, that was pretty exciting to us. As this is the last day of the Phelan Leadership Academies, and I can report that our kids went from 56% on track to pass the state test to 92% proficient and advanced at the end of the year, we get real, really excited about the ability to potentially bring this to more children in Indianapolis.
Marlon Llewellyn, this project, what you guys are going to be doing, you're going to be concentrating on K-6, with blended learning, which is traditional classroom work, as well as utilizing all the technology, the computers and the iPads and all this kind of stuff. How are you going to do that, and is the most difficult part going to be when you're in a school that's not magnet, in other words, where this is going to be dropped into an existing school, and the students at that school and the parents and the grandparents are going to have to make a decision to hang with something that they may not have necessarily chosen at the very beginning?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding with the PLA model. This work will be collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
With this opportunity, we'll sit down with Dr. Fairby and the board to decide what school to do the innovation in. So that's a process we're still working through. And between ourselves, PLA, the Mind Trust, and the board, we'll figure out what's a perfect fit for this innovation model.
In terms of the fellowship, now you guys are, which one is the 2 year? You're the two, these are the 2 year. I mean, the ladies get the two year. How come the fellas didn't get the 2 year and the brothers got the 1 year? We figured that out.
Well, there are two of us, so it's about equal.
Okay. Let me move on over to, Lauren Franklin. Now, Lauren, you're the IPS veteran. You've been educated in IPS. You have worked in the system. So if you're there 15 years, that's two or three superintendents and a couple of interims thrown in. What was the challenge for applying for this? Because somebody could say, well, you're an IPS person. Why would you even want to get in there to do something cutting edge and go against the grain?
I think that it's important. First of all, I love IPS, mm-hmm. and it's deeply personal for me. And I think that it's important that current IPS employees recognize the talent that we do possess. Mm-hmm. Many of us possess There's great talent within the district, and it's important that there's complaints sometimes about people coming in and doing stuff to our district, mm-hmm. and we sit back and don't participate in the process. And so for me, it was important. It was a why not, mm-hmm. and it was important to kind of just throw my name out there right. and my proposal out there and try to see what would come out of it, because I do know the community. I do know my students, and I do recognize the talented staff that makes up the district. And so I wanted to not feel like something was being done to us, but I wanted to participate in this innovation and be part of the transformation of the district.
There may be listeners that have heard the name Montessori. They may think they know what it is, but they may not know. What is it?
So Maria Montessori was a scientist in Italy in the 1800s, and she studied how students and how kids acquire knowledge, mm-hmm. so how we learn best. And it's a very hands-on model. It's very much about follow the child. And so we try to see how does a student learn, and then we create opportunities for them to learn within their classroom. So, again, it's very hands-on. You're not going to see textbooks and students seated at desk. Instead, when you walk into one of our classrooms, you're going to see students around the floor on work mats, and they have actual concrete materials that are very purposeful in the concepts that they're learning.
I have known of Montessori schools at K through 3 as up to the 6th grade. I have never heard, correct me if I'm wrong, of Montessori schools at the middle school level and at the high school level. I'm trying to visualize a high school chemistry class doing Montessori on the mats. I'm trying to figure, is that part of the challenge of in this fellowship, trying to figure out, can you do Montessori in the upper grades?
It is part of the challenge. There are a handful of Montessori-inspired secondary schools, mm-hmm. and my school currently is preschool through 8th grade.
Okay.
So we actually
okay.
have 7th and 8th graders. And what you'll see
do
is
they
a lot
buy,
of...
Do the older kids buy into the Montessori thing?
They absolutely do. But they've also been part of our school community for so long that it's more of a cohort group.
Mm-hmm.
And so we approach learning at the older level. There's a lot of independence that's involved in taking ownership of their learning. And they really enjoy that, and they really respond to that piece of it. And we also challenge and accelerate the communities, or the students and the curriculum. So we they enjoy the challenge.
Right.
And the independence that they have at that late, at that age level.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is, we're talking with the first three IPS Innovation Scholars, Earl Phelan, Marlon Llewellyn, Heather Savaris, and Lauren Franklin. David Harris of the Mind Trust is here as well. 239-1310. 239-1310. You may have questions, or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890. Keyword Amos, Lauren, when I mentioned this yesterday to somebody, they said, wait a minute, now they want to put Montessori in a regular school, not a magnet. Is part of the research you're going to have to do for the next year, year and a half, figuring out how to get non-Montessori-oriented parents and grandparents to buy into this if this is a regular district school? And this may be the broader question of what you all are going to do, because this is not going to be magnet schools. In other words, IPS, this will be a school that's a regular IPS boundary school where the kids that would be assigned to that school, hey, this is the curricula you get. So part of this is going to be retention, you know, and trying to say, hey, this is good for y'all.
Right. Well, absolutely. Community engagement is a big part of what we will work on throughout the fellowship. Additionally, I think that parents, I've been in several settings, not just Montessori, within the district. And what I know about our parents is that they want what works, and mm-hmm. they want what's best for their students. And so when you give them a tried and true model, such as Montessori, then they respond to that, and they can appreciate the fact that we're doing everything we can to make sure their child is successful.
Is it also one of the misperceptions of Montessori is that minority kids don't attend Montessori schools in an IPS? And correct me if I'm wrong, of the three Montessori schools, the majority of the students there are minority students.
That is correct. We definitely.
But I didn't realize that until maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. I said, let me look at this just to see for myself. And that's it. There's a lot of us in Montessori.
That's absolutely true. Our population reflects the district population even more so. So we absolutely are majority. My school is majority minority students. Mm-hmm. I'm primarily African American, and we also have a Hispanic population as well.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is Let Me Go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
I really like the fact that they are the city and IPS and the Mind Trust are now working together to better the education of students in Indianapolis. I just wondered what's going to happen with Ms. Franklin being gone from her school for that time. And then I'm glad to see the Phelan is, I think Phelan at one point was involved with IPS with the Summer Advantage. And I just wondered if they were going to be bringing that back. I know Pike and IPS, I think at one point, once they found out he was opening a charter, moved, you know, had them leave the district, and he can correct me if I'm wrong. So I just wonder if they're going to bring Summer Advantage back to IPS, and I would hope to see more schools open under the PLA model within IPS. So that was my comment.
So Earl Phelan, is there now peace in the valley between Summer Advantage and IPS?
There's definitely peace. Dr. Ferber has brought a great sense of leadership, and we are actually running a small site over at School 103, Francis Scott Key, this summer, with Dr. Ferber and Dr. LeGrand really leading that charge to bring Summer Advantage back. So thanks, Marvin, for saying that. And then Summer Advantage is also available within the district at Phelan Leadership Academies this summer for scholars as well.
And Lauren Franklin, this news that you're going to be one of the Innovation Fellows occurred after school ended. You know, I'm sure the word gets around to your students and staff. What's been their reaction, and how are you going to handle that transition? Because, you know, kids, particularly at the younger grades, and then Montessori is so close, it's going to get emotional there.
It's absolutely emotional. It's been a very bittersweet reaction. My staff and I talked yesterday, and they're very excited for me and happy for this opportunity. But at the same time, we've worked so closely together as a team that it is difficult to break the team up. Mm-hmm. But I'm confident that moving forward, first of all, School 56 has an amazing staff, very talented individuals. Worked really hard to put together people who share a similar vision and people who just get it. And that's what School 56 has. And so I don't believe that one person being gone from that particular mix is going to derail our efforts from the past few years.
Is staffing, or is part of the challenge in this fellowship, trying to find staff, whether they're in IPS or not, ideally in IPS, finding staff that can handle these missions? David?
Absolutely. So the key to any great school are the wonderful people in it, and so teachers are the critical ingredient, teachers and school leaders. So that's going to be fundamental. As Lauren said, there's an incredibly large number of talented people already in the Indianapolis Public Schools, so that will be a source of talent for these great leaders to draw from. But hopefully this opportunity will attract talented people, not just from other districts in our community, but from throughout the country, to come to Indianapolis to take advantage of this really nationally unique opportunity. So this is an exciting time for educators. This law that Dr. Ferebee championed to create these innovation network schools is really an educator empowerment law. This empowers educators to be the professionals that we all know them to be. So this is going to be an opportunity to bring talent from all over into the Indianapolis Public Schools. But
Heather, let me ask a question. You have had experience in your career working in other cultures where the mission of a diplomat is to understand other cultures. You can't explain America until you understand other cultures. How important is it going to be, not just for you, even though Ohio, and Ohio's kind of like Indiana, this ain't in, you know, it ain't Indiana. How important is it going to be for you and other fellows down the road as part of your research and understanding, really getting into Indianapolis and understanding what IPS is, what the culture, what the values, not just in the school, but out in the neighborhoods.
It's critical. I mean, it's absolutely critical, and that's why I'm so grateful, you know, that I was offered 2 years to do this, because I think coming in and saying, hey, you know, I have this idea, I think it will work, and not knowing, you know, the talent that is here and not knowing the realities that the kids face, et cetera, that would be crazy. So I know enough to know. I don't know a whole lot about IPS, and I have a big fat learning curve that I've got to get really smart on, and I want to understand. And I think part of that also is when I build a team, and it's those experts on the ground as well to make me smart. And look, it's something that we talk about in entrepreneurship. If you don't know who your customers are, you're in really big trouble. So how do you understand that? How do you really listen and understand?
Is it also melding the standards in the curriculum? So if you're talking about entrepreneurship, that's teaching some things, particularly the middle school level, that nobody teaches, which is how to balance a checkbook, some basic accounting, how, you know, just the basics of building an enterprise together.
Yeah, no, there's definitely pieces of that, right? And you know, one of the things that, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I have a business, and it's like, fantastic. Do you have a business or an expensive hobby, right? And so it's just kind of figuring out, well, what are your costs? What does that look like? But, you know, hopefully it's not just about building businesses for the kids or whatever, but it's about entrepreneurial thinking. So it's about looking around and saying, what opportunities are out there? How can I capitalize or take advantage of that opportunity? And what resources do I need to find? Who do I need to talk to?
Let me go to Candace at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, hello everyone.
Hi.
I was calling because I just moved to the IPS district, and I moved from Decatur, and like, so I'm kind of like torn in between like what school to choose for my children. I have a kindergartner and a fourth grader, and so I'm kind of like, I really have a question slash like needing like some guidance in which school to choose, because originally my children are assigned to go to school 44. But I went down and I signed them up for the magnet program to go to Cold Spring. But then, like, I keep seeing all these bad views on thegreatschools.org. And so I'm just like, I really don't know which way to kind of go in the IPS thing. So wait a minute.
What did greatschools.org say about Cold Spring and 44?
I hadn't had a chance to like really research about 44,
uh-huh.
But I know Cold Spring was just saying like with the new principal and everything, like how they went down on the curriculum and like the state, rated it as like a D. And
a B is good, girl.
I'm sorry.
I said a B is good.
No, it was a D.
Oh, it was a D. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, and it was like 4 out of 10. So I'm like, oh man. So my kids got accepted into the magnet program at Cold Spring. But then I'm kind of like second guessing it. And like I did like the Montessori school, that was one of the choices as well as 74. But I just kind of like, okay, don't know which way to kind of like go.
All right, hold on a second. I just went to the website, to the state of Indiana's, the Department of Education's official website. I don't care what you saw in greatschools.org. Let me tell you what the grade is from the 2012-2013 school year. That's the last school year they had grades. Cold Spring School is a C. So if you're, and it has never been a D.
Okay.
So if you're looking at some kind of guy that said Cold Spring School was a D, mm-hmm. You need to throw that guide out. That guide is in. The Cold Spring School has been a C the last two school years, 2011, 2012, 2012, 2013. Okay. The year before that, they went before Tony Bennett changed the rules. They were an A school, so hopefully they're changing the rules again, and Cold Springs is a pretty good school. And
okay.
I'm getting ready to look at it. You said the other one was school 44?
Yes.
Okay.
And Candace, while Amos is looking, the only thing I'd add is Phelan Leadership Academies, which is on 24th and Illinois, mm-hmm. would be an option for your kindergarten child, your child going into kindergarten. So if you like kind of a longer school year and a longer school day in academics and enrichment and real, real rigorous instruction by two teachers in every classroom, you may want to look at Phelan Academies as an option for your kindergarten. Unfortunately, next year we're just going to be K to three, so we wouldn't be able to serve your fourth grade son.
All right, and then the
okay, and you said that school, what is it called?
It's called Phelan Leadership Academy.
Okay.
It's so new, it's not even in those guides you were reading. Now, on School 40, what did the guide say on School 44?
I didn't get a chance to look at it.
Okay, now,
I'm just hearing from other parents.
All right, well, right now the official state grade is F.
Okay.
But but you'll be able to see the scores for the schools for the current school year, the school year that just ended probably in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And here's here's the other thing. Just cause a school is F doesn't mean that your child can't be an A or B student. That does not, just because a school is F, that does not mean that every kid in the school is an F kid.
Right.
Okay.
All righty. And I guess I kind of was just like looking maybe towards more like, I don't know. All this is just new for me. So I'm just like, I need some guidance in which way to go, you know, my children, because I'm really big on, you know, education. So, yeah.
There's nothing, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know what I would do? I'm going to give you a number. I want you to call
226-4411. Okay.
That's the superintendent's office.
Okay.
You tell Dr. Farabee's office, you'll get one of his assistants, that you talk to me live on the radio, and you want someone to talk to you about Cold Spring School and School 44.
Okay. All righty. I thank y'all so much.
All right. Thank you. I got an email at praiseindy.com. Mr. Brown, ask how these innovative schools will be funded. Taxpayer dollars? Are they accountable to the IPS board and superintendent?
Yes, they will be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The district will provide the resources. So each of these leaders of Innovation Network schools will negotiate a contract with the district that, among other things, will spell out what resources the district will put into the school. So they'll all be funded through IPS, and then they will, yes, be accountable to the district superintendent and the IPS school board.
Let me go to the phones. And Larry, hi there.
Hey, you know something, Amos?
What?
It's more serious thing I want to talk about, but Dr. Therapy is shortchanging these people that are working for him. He's not paying some people for 2 and 3 weeks going into the summer when they call down there, they say call back later. He is turning into a real funky shortchanger, shortchanging teachers. Hey, Therapy, pay up, buddy. But what it is, Amos, with these people, they're using our kids as guinea pigs. Just like that one lady that called in, they're steering her toward one of these segregated schools where they can get them in there and use them as lab rats and experiment with them. The lady that talked about her teaching some kid in junior high about business, he don't have no concept of that. He knows nothing about physics. He knows nothing about calculus. He cannot read. That is the problem. She wants to talk about anything else but what they need to be teaching these kids, and they need to be ashamed of themselves. And Dr. Therapy has no jurisdiction over their schools whatsoever unless they give it to him or have some agreement with him. But what he's doing is, Amos, is he's trying to intentionally segregate our kids so that they can be marginalized, and then, boom, the school closes down, just like Math and Science Academy, under investigation now by the FBI, and then our kids are left in limbo. So these people, they may have the grant, they may have their fellowship, but they know how they were educated. They know they learned to read and write. They know they learned about calculus and physics. They're trying to guard those books and keep them out of the hands of our younger kids. That is the essence of what they're doing, the evil. And they know that they're doing it. They're doing it intentionally.
I appreciate it, Larry. Let me rephrase the question for Earl Phelan. Earl, how do you take a student, and obviously you work with the younger grades, K-2, the school you're talking about is K-6 with Marlon Llewellyn, but if you're getting a district school and you got kids that are underperforming in reading, underperforming in math, underperforming with basically trying to put things together, how difficult is it to create an innovation curriculum if they can't understand the basics?
Well, I think Larry's facts are really misguided. the Indianapolis is known, read the SHOT report, for having 37% black male graduation. It's the worst of any city, major city in the United States. It's been that way for a decade. So for Larry to say innovation schools are trying to fight that, it's really misguided, and I'm not sure if he wants that to be the continued future for black children and for all children in IPS. The way that you educate children is you have a rigorous academic curriculum. You have incredible educators who care about the children, who know content, who drive towards high levels of performance. So when I say that our kindergartners went from 3% were reading on track at the beginning of the year, meaning they didn't know how to count beyond 10, to 99% on track, proficient and advanced at the end of the year, if Larry's opposed to that happening for more children in the district, then shame on you, Larry. I think the educators here are saying we want models, and you look at the other leaders and their track records, we want models that actually take schools that have historically been under serving our children. They've had 33%, 42%, 51% passage rates on the I-STEP, and really hamstringing our children and what futures will be available for them. You now have educators who are, of course, going to make sure children learn how to read, write, and compute, but we're also going to make sure that they understand higher-order thinking skills, that they're exposed to art, music, and drama, that they have a caring and safe space before, during, and after school, and you'll see that in the results that the innovation schools demonstrate.
And Lauren Franklin, you've had students, even though Montessori is a magnet, that have come to you that have not been A students 1 or 2 years ahead of grade, who have been behind. How do you bring the ones that are behind up to snuff in a Montessori setting?
Well, that's the beauty of the Montessori program, because our classrooms are multi-age. And so what you'll find is in a first, second, third grade classroom, a first grader can receive a lesson, a first grade lesson, but they can also sit in on a third grade lesson. And so you're constantly accelerating the curriculum while you're still providing that remediation piece. So there's just constant opportunities to learn and to grow and to acquire that knowledge at any level.
And you can hear, Heather Savaris, the challenge in people saying, wait a minute, you want to do something specialized with entrepreneurship. Where's the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic in that?
And I would say it's all in there, because I think the idea is, you know, it's kind of a problem-based learning model. And what we're going to work towards is that these kids will absolutely get the Indiana standards and beyond, frankly. That's what we're going to do, but it's all around how you figure out what are they going to build, what are they going to create. It's the individual kind of education to get them what they need. So they need to solve a problem, right? They're going to have to learn. They're going to have to learn for reading comprehension. They're going to have to present. They're going to have the critical thinking skills. You know, all of that is baked in there for certain.
Anonymous will be our last caller with the Innovation Scholars, who will be working with in IPS. One set will be beginning in the 15-16 school year. The other set in the 16-17. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. School year. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I was trying to be calm and not even call, but Larry put me over the edge. Larry doesn't understand the vision of what this program is getting ready to be about. You know, he's so concentrated, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people who have the same mindset as he, so concentrated on what has happened in the past and what is happening now. What they are doing is a futuristic vision, trying to expand, trying to allow these children to have another perspective of learning. And if we don't grow, if we don't do anything, then our children are not going to go anywhere in the first place. You know, we have to quit being in this mindset of, well, they're not learning the basics A, B, and C. As the one young lady said, all of that is going to be inclusive into the program. Research. Learn what this program is about. Quit being so closed-minded about things. IPS already is given a bad reputation of our kids not accelerating as fast as the townships or the other schools. Go into the IPS school, Larry. Volunteer. They need black role models, especially men, for our boys who are not doing as well as they should be. Quit being so negative about things. Open your mind. Open up your vision, as this program is trying to do. That's all I need to say.
All right, I appreciate it. These are the first IPS Innovation Scholars, Lauren Franklin, the pride of Francis Parker IPS Montessori School, IPS from K to 12. And beyond, back in the district getting educated, that Earl Martin Phelan and Martin Llewellyn, their school will be up first in the 15-16 school year, a K through 6 somewhere. And then Heather Savaris will be following with Lauren Franklin a couple of years later. Guys, congratulations. Thanks very much for being with us. David Harris, always good to see you. Thank you.